Hello, I'm Tom Howard, and welcome back to the Gravel Notes podcast. A few weeks ago, we put out an exciting little announcement confirming that the podcast will be returning this year, and now we are ready to launch the first of our WRC interview pods. Joining us for the first episode of a new era for Gravel Notes is Hyundai Motorsport co-driver and WRC 3 and WRC 2 champion navigator, Enni Malkanen. After a brief dalliance in the WRC top flight calling notes for Sami Pyöri in 2024, Malkanen has returned to the top tier this year, joining Esa-Pekka Lappi for a part-time program piloting the third factory, Hyundai. The first of those rounds arrived at Rally Sweden recently, where it was clear to see how much it meant to Enni as she realised the dream of competing at the top level again. The beaming smiles every time the TV cameras jumped on board the number 4 Hyundai have made Enni a bit of an internet sensation ever since. So to find out a bit more behind the smiles, I sat down with Enni before she jetted off to Safari Rally Kenya for a chat exploring her career to date. Pleased to say that we have Enni Malkanen from Hyundai Motorsport joining us on the Gravel Notes podcast this week. So thanks for joining us, Enni. How are you? How are you feeling?
Thanks. I'm feeling well and excited for the Kenya.
Yeah, I bet you are. And will this be your first Kenya?
Yes, this is my first Kenya. I have done record before in 24. So I know where I'm going.
Normally with these interviews we do a few sort of fun questions to start with, just to learn a bit more about you, but I guess we'll start by saying, like, what are your first memories of rally? How did you get involved in rallying?
My first memories are from my home garage, where we had some rally cars because my dad was driving back then, some small rallies only. And I was playing Colin McRae Rally with PlayStation.
It's a good game, isn't it? I still play it now. That's fantastic. I guess then we've seen you a lot on the television, but is there anything you could sort of, for the fans, that you could tell us that we don't perhaps know about you, a sort of fun fact?
I'm also an engineer in construction field, so I have been working also part-timely all these times between rallies in construction. So maybe that's something many don't know.
So what types of buildings are you constructing or helping construct?
I'm doing more infrastructure, right?
Okay.
Roads, bridges, things like that.
Okay. If you hadn't have got into co-driving, is that something you would have done as a career, as, you know, in construction?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. I actually like it quite much. So it's interesting. And there's also some, that's interesting.
Is there something that's a bit similar to co-driving in terms of all the organization? Is that sort of the similarities that you have in it?
That's true.
Okay, cool. And if hypothetically you were, say, you had the chance to be a WRC team boss and you could pick a team from history, a driver and a co-driver, two drivers, two co-drivers, who would you pick?
Michel Mouton and Fabrizio Pons, of course. And then Kalle Ravanperä and Jonne Halttunen.
Oh, wow. That's a great choice. That's fantastic. Cool. Well, I feel we've learned a little bit about you now, so we'll start with the proper interview. And I guess the first question is, how did you get into rallying and co-driving? And I guess it all sort of stems from your family.
Yes. That's how it started. And I'm coming from a small village, and there's many drivers who are driving small rallies in Finland. And for me, it was easy to step in to get the first chance. And that's how it started.
I understand you also did a bit of horse riding as well. Is that right? You sort of converted from horse riding to co-driving. That's quite a change.
Yeah. I was competing in horse riding since 18 or 12, and my horse breaks its leg, and that's when that competing in horse riding stopped. And then I started to find something else, and then I got my first opportunity to jump to rally car, and that was it.
Is it sort of love at first sight when you got into the rally car? You just sort of instantly gelled with it.
Yeah.
What about co-driving is it that you find fascinating? And I guess, is it something that came naturally to you, or is it something you've had to work at to be the level you are now?
Yeah, I have done a lot of work, and I think that's something what is good to know, because if someone starts rally or car driving, maybe it's not easy from the first try. But when you do a lot of work and got some advices from better than you, then at some point you can end up this level.
So sort of just how does it work from you? Did you start doing local rallies and then sort of slowly worked your way up, and how sort of tough was it to begin with?
Actually, beginning was quite tough, because it's not easy to get this first opportunity, and after that find way to do it like properly.
Yeah. And I guess sort of the key skills then, like we see it, it's a, like I've had a little go and it's an incredibly hard job. Like what are the key skills do you think you need to begin with to be able to be a co-driver?
This was not so easy question, because there's so much things you need to keep. Many things in hands at the same time, and you need to work with the pressure, and also at the same time, it's good to remember that I'm doing this because I want, I'm doing this because I love this sport.
Yeah. I was going to say, what was there any inspiration from the co-driver side growing up? Obviously, you mentioned Fabrizia Pons at the start of the interview. Was she perhaps someone that you came across and thought, that's what I want to do?
Actually, in Finland, there was not visible woman at that time at all. I know that in Europe, there was many women doing motorsport at that time, but in Finland, it was not visible for me.
So was Fabrizia someone that you saw growing up on the television, or no?
No.
Wow. Okay. So how difficult was it to sort of, if there was no one that you could see doing it in Finland, how big a challenge was it to sort of get into it? It must be quite difficult.
Yeah, because at the first point, it's not easy to dream or see yourself somewhere where is not people like you. So it's not easy to even dream or start to work and believe yourself that, okay, one day I can sit in the top of the rally in WRC.
And as I say, it's clearly worked out for you. You've won the WRC3 title, you won the WRC2 title. So that's an incredible achievement. I mean, you must be pretty proud of yourself, and also what a role model for the next wave of female co-drivers.
There's not many women. But I think actually Sara Fernandez also won ERC championship. Yes. So we have some women there. Yes. And what was the first question?
So like how firstly, how proud are you of the achievements? Because it's not an easy thing to say. You said there was no one you could look at growing up, and to be able to get into it and to win, that's incredible.
Yeah. Of course, it feels amazing, but it's also some kind of responsibility. Knowing that others are looking up to me, it's also pushing me harder forward, breaking barriers, and so that women belong also at the top of the motorsport. And if my career can inspire even one girl to follow her passion, I think it's worth it.
At this moment, you are the only one at the top level of the sport. What needs to happen to see more females get there? What do we need to do to lower the barriers to entry, I guess?
This is a difficult question, but I think one important thing is visibility, that they can see someone like them at the top. And also, like I said, for me, maybe the biggest thing in my career was that I got the first opportunity to champion the rallycar. So somehow we should support at grassroots level girls that we can get more girls to try that. Maybe we can see more women at the top.
It's a big topic, isn't it? And I guess things like the FI Rally Star program we've seen, and obviously the Women Drivers Development Program with the WRC. I guess we need more initiatives like that to give opportunities.
Yeah, that's true. But also in national level also.
Yeah.
Like in Finland, that girls can come and try.
Yeah.
And after that, they know maybe if it was fun, then they can continue and get more opportunities and train, and somehow like that it can work.
You have been competing in the Finnish Rally Championship. Have you noticed more females coming in, or has there been an impact?
Yeah, I have seen more women there, yes.
So that's a good sign, yeah?
Yep.
Yeah. Cool. I was going to talk to you about, obviously, you are now back in the top level of the WRC. What does it feel like to be back? And obviously working with EP as well. You two seem to work really well together.
Yeah. It's been amazing. And Sweden, it was really, I don't know. I'm also today, I'm a bit run out of words because that was one of my favorite rallies also. And doing it with WRC, that was amazing because I love fast roads.
Yes, as we've been finding out, you were very much a favorite of among the fans from that rally, just because of every time we went on board, you were smiling so much. What is it about these roads? What makes you so happy about this? Because a lot of people would have been quite scared.
Maybe, yeah, but actually, I didn't notice that I'm smiling like that because smile is something what comes from soul or somewhere. So after the rally, I saw these videos. I was like, oh, I'm looking like that. But to be honest, since I was young, it has been my dream to compete at that level. So I'm just so thankful and happy that I finally got that opportunity. And yeah, maybe that's where it comes.
I was going to say, did you, obviously, the relationship with EP, did you think that you were going to get another chance in WRC, or did you think that those chances had gone away? And I guess, how surprised were you to be back?
For me, it was never over, because it's not over until I decide to stop by myself. But when EP called me, I was surprised, yes. Okay.
But that relationship seems to have really worked. When we spoke to EP, he said that he's really enjoying the positivity that he gets from you, and like he seems sort of really refreshed and rejuvenated. Like what has been working so well between you two?
I might remind he the why we are there, because I think it was once a big dream for both of us that we can be there. And with all the pressure and hard work and competition, it's easy to forget that the why. Mm. And because for me, I keep it in my mind all the time, the why I'm here. Yeah. And the reason is that we simply love the sport. And maybe I'm reminding him that why he started, why he's there. Then we remember to enjoy also between all this hard work.
Because it's such a sort of sport where the mental side is really important. And I think that positivity can really help a driver and crew. We've seen it with Adrian Formeau, for example. Like, is that something that's in the sort of forefront of your mind, about having this positive attitude?
Yeah, I think it can help. But, okay, all the drivers are different, so maybe it's not helping everyone. But I hope that all the drivers who are there, at the end of the day, they remember, or they should remember why they are.
I guess it can be easy to forget, isn't it, when you're in that sort of competition mode and things are perhaps not going your way. I guess it's one of those things that's quite hard to sort of remember and keep the positivity going.
Yeah.
I was going to say, just talking about your sort of campaign, obviously Kenya is next. How are you feeling about this? This is obviously one of the sort of classic rallies on the calendar, one of the hardest as well. And for this to be your first one, how excited are you to actually go and do this rally?
Yeah, Kenya is going to be a challenging adventure for sure. But luckily, EP has done two times this rally. And also, we have great co-drivers in a team who are helping me and giving me some tips and helping me. So let's see what happens, but I'm excited.
I was gonna say, I guess there's been plenty of homework, a lot of preparation. Yeah. How do you prepare for something like this?
We have old notes, because EB has done this last time, 24. So maybe we can use some old ones. I have gone those through, checked videos, road books, recce timings, and schedules. Yeah. Everything like that.
I guess my sort of final question is, obviously, you know, you've got this part-time program with EP. What are your goals for this year and I guess the future? What sort of lies ahead, and what would you like to achieve this year?
This year, I think the goal is support the team as much as possible and do everything we can to help and get the points. And at the moment, I would like to focus only this year because you can always aim higher and set new goals. But for now, I really want to focus on having this, what was once only a big dream.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, I really appreciate your time, Enya. Thanks for joining us for that interview. And yeah, there were some really interesting points you made there. And I guess we have our fingers crossed for UNEP in Kenya and for the rest of the season.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, that's all we have time for in this episode. I'd like to say a big thanks to Enya for joining us, and I'm sure many of you will be looking forward to see how the rest of 2026 pans out for her. Thanks for listening, and remember to stay tuned to gravelnotes.com and our social channels for news of more podcasts coming soon.